Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rarely do you get a chance to talk about the Austins. Austin Meadows or Austin Matthews.
What about Texas?
Go either way.
Austin, Texas?
Austin, Texas, home of the Valero Open the other day. We can talk about that if you wanted to. But, man, the Austins are in the news in Tampa Bay. And we can start really anywhere. But let's start with Austin Meadows, not Austin Matthews of the Toronto Leafs. Okay, so Austin Meadows, and it, long time rumored, obviously, that this would be the year. I think even he realized when he got to spring training, hey, you know, he had an interview, it's out of my control. We know they have a surplus of outfielders. I suppose, what, Steve, he's going to be a free agent after this year. Is that correct? Or arbitration? No, he'd be arbitration would go up.
Yes. Yeah. And his salary would go up. But more importantly, he doesn't play very good defense.
Yes. He's and a DH.
He's a DH, and he's left-handed, and they have a plethora of left-handed bats in this lineup.
They do indeed. And so, not surprisingly, Austin Meadows was traded late. And by the way, can these Tampa Bay teams break news anytime before 7 or 8 o'clock at night?
Well, it's just a good thing we were set to record late tonight.
I know. Exactly. We would have missed this deal all entirely. But, I mean, I'm in the digital news business or newspaper business, if we used to call it. And the editors really don't appreciate, like, breaking news at, like, 10 o'clock when everything else is happening, like clocking games and things. But this one broke around 10 o'clock. So Austin Meadows gets traded to the Detroit Tigers, and his brother plays for that organization. Mm-hmm. That's the upside for him. They train in Lakeland, I suppose. Maybe that's another upside. Not the greatest of organizations right now, or the winningest of teams. So he's clearly going from an American League champion to the Tigers. And you're right. I don't think it's about what they got. They trade him for an infielder, Ezek Paredes, who's a second baseman, third base type. Not many years in pro baseball. Obviously, no years, I think, in the majors yet.
He played, 34 games in 2020. He played a little bit last year. So far, he's hit, like, .215 in the majors.
Mm-hmm. Decent numbers in the minors as far as offense goes. But again, a prospect. And the Rays, look, I think if nothing else, you give the Rays credit for knowing a prospect when they see it, right? He's not major league ready yet, but he's somebody that can help. You made the point that this is really about opportunity for Josh Lowe.
So you look at the outfield and, you know, who you're going to clear space for. Kevin Kiermaier, plus defender. Margot, plus defender. Arozarena, plus defender. Brett Phillips, plus defender. So you want to make room. Your team's built on pitching and defense. Meadows was available. And as a definitely not a plus defender. He was going to basically be a DH, but you have a plethora of left-handed bats. So he was expendable. Now, if Ezek Paredes becomes something, and I think I saw Mark Topkin kind of refer to him more kind of in a Yandy Diaz type of offensive role at this point, or player. He's a better offensive prospect in the infield than most of their young infielders. You know, take out Wander Franco and Vidal Brujan, but beyond that. So someone for their system to work with and tweak and that. They also get a draft pick, which will be probably around number 70 this year. It's a competitive balance pick that was traded. So, but much like the Willy Adames deal, although you got a lot back in that deal with J.P. FireEyes and Andrew Rasmussen. But, I mean, Adames was traded not because they wanted to get rid of Adames, just like I don't think they wanted to get rid of Austin Meadows, but you're also trying to clear room for prospects who you think have a bigger ceiling.
Yeah, Lowe is 24, and last year he won the team MVP honors. He batted .291 with 22 homers, 78 RBIs. He stole 26 bases, which is incredible for a guy with that much power, and had a 916 OPS. So this really is about opportunity. And I will say this, however, and I know, you know, everything that you've said is true with respect to like the limitations you have with Meadows, because he just simply is not a good outfielder. And you have so many outfielders and some guys even that, you know, can work out there if they need to. Kiermaier was always the guy that I thought would eventually be traded. He hasn't yet, but he's such a plus-plus defender. He has a team-high $12 million salary plus.
Well, that's the, you know, the option. I think the salary is a big part of it, too.
That's a big, big part of it. Meadows, I guess, is, I mean, here's what's hard for me to replace. 33 home runs. He made the All-Star team last year. And mm-hmm. the biggest thing, 106 RBIs. He was their clutch hitter. He was the guy driving in the runs from opening day. That's a skill. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's something that you hope that Lowe can replicate. But 106 is a lot of RBIs. That's a lot of RBIs. And left-handed, DH, not DH, outfielder, not outfielder. That's a big bat in the middle of your lineup. And so Lowe has some big cleats to fill. But they know what they got, and they know it's his time. And, you know, he it doesn't benefit him from being AAA. I know he sent down the other day procedurally. Now he comes back up. You just got to have faith. I mean, you know, it's still one of the greatest deals that any baseball team has made, right? For Chris Archer with the Pirates, getting Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow.
And Shane Boz.
And Shane Boz. Now, it turns out all three, you know, two of those guys are hurt right now, and Glasnow more seriously maybe than Boz, who should come back. But what a haul for those guys, and they played a lot of good baseball. But they, you know, the Rays have to make room. This is exciting to me from the standpoint we've always talked about the Rays pitching and defense, which does not change. And I think this year, you know, the young pitchers have to make a huge leap. You know, they, I mean, we're going to see Shane McClanahan get the ball as the ace of the staff all year long, including on opening day, going against other number one pitchers. He certainly has the stuff. How does he handle it, the mental makeup of all that? So young guys on the mound. But you talk about a lineup now with good young hitters, right? Guys that are only going to get better. Guys that are already sort of superstars and playoff proven, if you will, in some instances, like a Rosarena. This is going to be a fun team to watch play and move the baseball, you know. Maybe not as many strikeouts as we're used to seeing. Certainly a ton of power. And then the flexibility that they have in the outfield.
I was reading David Schoenfeld from ESPN, and he had rated the Rays like ninth in his power index.
Mm-hmm.
And his concerns were this team, besides Wander Franco, can they string enough hits back-to-back together, because they strike out a lot.
They do.
I mean, Wander Franco puts the ball in play and doesn't swing and miss much.
Right.
But everybody else, it's a lot of that. And in spring training, granted, spring training.
Yeah.
They've hit the least amount of home runs of anybody.
Is that right?
Yes. But at least going into Sunday's game, they were. Probably still the same. But now, it's spring training. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're getting one or two at-bats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of hard to gauge, because your frontline guys are only getting one. I mean, I guess apples to apples. Other teams are getting that as well. But
well, and are you working on certain things in your swing?
Sure.
Pitchers aren't throwing their normal pitches. They're not sequencing their pitches normally. They might be, I'm working on my curve, and I'm going to keep throwing you curveballs.
Sure.
You know, whatever. I mean, that, you know, spring training is, you know, you can't read too much into it. I mean, you can see some trends in that, but, you know, the stats-wise, you can't read into it, so.
Correct. Yeah, it's just, I mean, strikeouts have kind of been the way of baseball of late, and certainly the Rays have struck out their share. I just think you have ascending. What I like about this team is that it's young ascending players, and now you add Lowe to that mix. Even Brandon Lau, right, with the, 39 home runs, and he hasn't done it in the postseason, but still a guy who's, you know, a young player that can get better. So it's going to be interesting. It's an interesting team. A lot of expectations. Chance to make the playoffs for the fourth straight time, which they've never done. Two-time, you know, defending American League East champs. American League champs 2 years ago. It's 100 wins. I mean, there's so much Like, I feel as if this team, they just have the one step to make, right? Get to the World Series and win it. And that's easier said than done, clearly, when you're going up against big market teams. And no matter what happens, you're probably going to be looking at the Los Angeles Dodgers and their payroll and Freddie Freeman and all of that when you get there, or somebody like them. But the expectations are now, or you know, the culture is here, the young talent is here, and really, rather than having a bunch of older arms and guys that you think are going to be okay, they're young guys, and you don't know their upsides yet. You know, they may have giant upside. There might be a guy in that on that staff, you know, that could be a Cy Young Award winner. We don't know. It'd be nice to see Tyler Glasnow back and you know, some of the talent they've lost there. But their, you know, their pitching staff is going to be interesting to me. They could have somebody on that staff that's dominant. Maybe it's Shane McClanahan. Who knows?
Well, you hope Luis Patino makes the jump this year.
Absolutely.
He's only 22 now. Drew Rasmussen showed.
Rasmussen's underrated.
Yes, and that was the big, I mean, when they traded Willy Adames, mm-hmm. J.P. Fireisen was the one who made the impact immediately.
In the bullpen, yeah.
But the real pitcher they wanted in the deal, and the reason they made the deal, was one, to clear room for Wander Franco, but two, it was Drew Rasmussen
mm-hmm.
that they really liked. And when they moved him to the starting rotation late last year, he thrived. Mm-hmm. And you're hoping he continues and takes that next step this year to continue doing that.
Right. Yeah, so fan favorite, good guy, really good guy, popular player, good family. Again, his brother plays in the Tigers organization. It'd be a great story if they were both in the majors together. But farewell to Austin Meadows of the Tampa Bay Rays. And hello, Austin Matthews, not playing for one of the Tampa Bay teams, more likely just destroying one of them.
By the way, he's really good.
Oh, my God. You know how good he – you know, first of all, he's going to score 60-plus goals this year, which is incredible, right?
Which no one's done since Steven Stamkos 10 years ago.
A decade. I saw that. A decade has gone by. He now has, I want to say, 53. Is that right?
54 now, I think.
54 now. So he has a hat trick. He spits out a hat trick. By the way, it was his seventh hat trick of the year.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. It was his first hat trick on the road. And when I tell you, like, the nonchalance of his, you know, performance, and of course, John Cooper, who was livid about it in his own sort of, you know, sarcastic way, said basically, well, you know, we just let the guy, we made it easy for him. I mean, we just, the way we played, like, we didn't even challenge him.
Well, he said that game was more like a light practice for the Maple Leafs.
Like a practice, yeah. Like they were just kind of skating around, and then, you know, he would stand out there, and the puck would come to him, and he'd fire it, and nobody would be around him. It was three of the easier goals you will see, probably, that he will see, that Matthews will see. But, boy, is he good. And Toronto is good. And this is now, you know, it looked like that the Lightning coming off that long road trip has sort of righted the ship a little bit. They played a really loose and poor game against Montreal, and they got a point out of it, but they, you know, they gave up, what, five goals in that one, I want to say. Or was it four? It was 4-3. No, it was 4-4. It was five. Well, four in regulation. And
right.
Then
the shootout. The shootout.
So four goals in that one. And then six goals. They lose 6-2. 6-2. To Toronto, and when I tell you it wasn't close, folks, it wasn't close. Toronto, you know, could have scored more than that. And Matthews gets the hat trick, and it's sort of like, I mean, his reaction was no reaction. Like, okay. Like, it was so businesslike and so easy, and it's not easy to do what he was doing. What a player. What a scorer this guy is. You know, what a force. And how do you lose track of him in front of your own net as many times as they did?
Well, lately the Lightning have been losing track of everybody.
Of everybody, yeah. Yeah. They've got a problem, and you know what side of the ice it's on. It's defense. And they're not getting much help from the other guys, you know, on the other side of the ice. But like
here's what worries me most about tonight's game. And, look, I thought the first period was pretty even. It was ended up 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
First goal was kind of an unlucky bounce for Zach Bogosian, trying to keep the puck in at the blue line. It hit off the Maple Leafs player and created a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But the last four goals, it was Point and Kucherov on the ice for.
Mm.
Stamkos for the first two of those, then he was taken off that line, so he wasn't on for the last two.
Yeah.
But once again, we saw Point, Kucherov, and Stamkos not playing, not being responsible defensively.
Right, right.
And, you know, that's all. It seems like every time they put that line together, there's a couple games where it looks great, and then they just, it's all about trying to score. And as Cooper
right.
says, it's about what we keep out, not what we put in. Except that mm-hmm. line becomes what we try to put in, not what we keep out.
Right. Yeah, too many turnovers, sloppy play, giving up easy chances on not playing on the defensive end. He says, until we start playing good on our side, there's no sense in worrying about what we do when we cross the blue line over there, because we're not getting it done, you know, in front of our goaltender. And this has been a pattern now. I mean, this has been a thing for a while. Like, defensively, it used to be, you know, the Lightning, if they got a lead, and they rarely seem to be ahead anymore, but when they got a lead, they would choke you out. That's what we got used to seeing, how they could play the 200-foot game and, you know, be sound and protect what's the best goaltender in the world. They're not protecting anybody, and they're giving away way too many easy chances. And that's a problem. I mean, you don't have that many games to go. Somebody asked, well, you know, you think you can get this cleaned up before the playoffs? He goes, look, we're not in the playoffs, you know? And right now they're, what, a wild card team, I guess.
They would be the wild card team now. Their magic number is still 9 with 13 games to play.
Yeah, I mean, in all probability.
Which means really 5 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Or mm-hmm. 5 losses by the Islanders.
By the other, yeah, right.
I mean, you know, you're not in yet, technically. You don't have the X by your name. But
right, right.
They're not going to miss the playoffs.
No. No, in all probability, they're going to make it, but they can't make it playing the way they're playing. And like I said, it looked like coming off that road trip, they had sort of gotten their game back, and it's, you know, it's slipped away again. And now they've got Washington on Wednesday, and Ovechkin has scored over 50 goals, and, you know, they're doing well. And then you've got Boston on Friday, so it doesn't get easier. And when you get to the postseason, you're going to see teams like Florida. You know, it's, I mean, this is why it's hard, you know, to repeat, much less this team is trying to go for 3 in a row, which is unprecedented. And I still think that they'll turn it up a little bit when they get to the postseason, but they need to start those habits now. And they played 2 pretty loose games, 4 goals and 6. As Cooper said, you give up 4 and 6, you're not going to win.
Brian Engblom brought up another good point, as he often does, because he's one of the best in the business. He said the game changed real quick in that first period when they gave the 10-minute misconducts to Maroon and Wayne Simmonds.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this after Sunday's or Saturday's game against Montreal. That game became no hitting. It was just pure speed up and down the ice and no physicality.
That's correct.
So this is 2 games in a row, and so the Belmar line is lost when that happens, mm-hmm. including Pat Maroon and Corey Perry.
Right.
And Toronto was hungrier and faster to everything tonight.
Right.
And so the Lightning didn't stand a chance when that happened. Now, in the playoffs, I don't think you're going to see games as little physicality as what the Lightning have seen the last 2 games. And the Lightning kind of built their team more for physicality by adding Brendan Hagel, by adding Nick Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the game that's being played right now. And I think Ryan McDonagh on the back end is hurting, too.
That's hurt him. Yeah, I was going to say, like, they're missing one of their top defenders and shot blockers. Let me ask you this,
missing their best defender at the blue line.
Right. When was the last time, seriously, and I watched most of the Lightning game, but when was the last time you saw 2 players chirping at each other from the bench get 10-minute penalties?
I don't know. I mean, it's...
I've never seen it, and I don't watch hockey all the time, but I've watched enough games. I mean, they were warned, granted, like, okay, knock it off, and they just, but they're on their benches, respectively.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that's usually results when the next time the line changes and they're both on the ice, they're going to drop the gloves and go at it. Okay, fine. Then they get a fighting penalty. But this was shut up or we're going to put you in the box for 10 minutes, and they did.
I think the referee did that to avoid a fight on the ice.
Probably, yeah.
Because he said, when you guys come out next, you're going to fight, so let me just, I'm going to head this off.
Right, right. But that does but that I, happen I, often?
No,
I mean, does
no,
it?
No. I mean, you might get a penalty chirping something from the bench if you're chirping something at the officials.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there are some magic words there. I think they said what Maroon said. Engvall told us. He said he basically told the guy, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be in the NHL next year anyway. So I'm supposed he knows. I don't know why he thinks that's true.
Well, Simmons is older. I mean, he might be. I mean, Maroon's got a new contract, so he's in for a few more years. But
so he basically told him, you're not going to be in the league anyway, so shut up. But yeah, 10 minutes, I thought, and that was like, you're right. That's the physical aspect of their game and they certainly missed it. And you know, it's 10 minutes, man. It wasn't, you know, that half the first period was gone by the time they got out of the box. So then they've been taking way too many penalties anyway, for the most part. And it's sort of cleaned that up a little bit, but man, what a display. And I guess it's that time of year, Steve. You're in the arena. Like, I went to the Chicago game. There was a ton of Blackhawks fans. A lot of Toronto fans tonight, right?
There were. I thought there was more. Well, I guess it's hard to tell because of the
they're blue all blue color. And white. I mean,
the blue the color makes it hard
yeah,
to
yeah,
tell.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's almost impossible, in fact. But
you know, Montreal and Chicago have the red, so.
Yeah, there was a lot of red in that building a couple nights ago.
You know, the one thing with Toronto is we're still in spring training season where the Blue Jays are here as well as the Maple Leafs, so you can come down and catch both teams.
Yeah, and I think that's true in general is that this is the tourist season of the year, and people are down for spring training, they're down for spring break. There's a lot of, obviously, you know, transplants that live here. We saw one guy the other day with the Blackhawks. He was sitting near the ice where my kids were. And he began the game with a Blackhawks jersey and then quickly put a Stamkos jersey over his Blackhawks jersey as he was watching the game. So they thought that was interesting. But, yeah, so you could hear the Toronto cheers. And what a night. And Matthews is just he's the best player in hockey, right? I mean, there's no dispute right now, is there?
Well, I mean, Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid is generally considered the best player in hockey.
Okay, so what
Austin
would
Matthews
what would
Matt is having
best
the best
scoring?
Season right now. I mean, he's having the best season, I think.
But he's going to win the Richard Trophy for like the third year in a row, isn't he, or something like that?
Is he going to? Yeah, something like. I mean, Austin Matthews and him and Marner together are just fantastic.
Oh my God! Yeah.
You know, Connor McDavid has that element of, you know, how fast he is.
Right. Right. Both those guys. It looks like the puck never leaves the stick. By the way.
Yeah.
No, the it's puck, just like I mean, it's attached to it.
The great players, that's the puck follows them around. I mean,
yeah, literally, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's what makes them so great.
Yeah,
the puck's always on their stick.
And when I take like this one goal, the puck came to him as you said, the great players it comes to them, and it was the most relaxed little flick of the wrist I've ever seen. Just like he was like Cooper said, like we were practicing or something.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, and finally, the big event, of course, was the men's basketball national championship game, and a good game it was. The Rock Chalk Kansas Jayhawks win the national basketball championship. They rallied down from actually 16 points, but 15 points at halftime they were trailing. Very entertaining game. They win 72-69 over North Carolina, and it was I felt bad. I had to make a phone call to somebody. At halftime, I waited till halftime because I knew they were watching the game and they were a Carolina fan. And I made the call to them and talked for a little bit. And then I got off the phone and then it was a 15-point lead for Carolina. I feel like I got to call them back and apologize because I changed the whole game for them. I know that's superstitious and all that, but like you don't see many 15-point leads in a national championship game go away.
It's never happened before.
I know. I mean, literally, it's never happened. So it's history. And it wasn't, like, subtle. Like, it went away fast, you know. And yet, Carolina had a chance and took a couple of threes, a chance to tie the game, and did not make them. So it was like, you know, a last possession type of finish. It was really exciting. Good basketball, obviously blue bloods in both Kansas and North Carolina. I don't know, you know, Bill Self has sort of been demonized because somehow he's escaped that FBI probe, you know, into payments and all that sort of stuff that I can't really get into because I can't speak intelligently about his or Kansas's role in any of that. But really good basketball game. And, you know, kind of had it on when I was watching Lightning. I was keeping an eye out for it. But you just don't see that, and never have seen that in a national championship game, down 16, 15 at halftime, and they come back and win. That's going to be hard on those North Carolina kids who had an unbelievable season under Hubert Davis. I mean, they started out very pedestrian, not very good at all. I think at one point they might have been 10-8 or something, like close to 500, and then just went on this tear and this run through the tournament and looked like they were in control. Not at the beginning. Kansas kind of jumped out to a little bit of lead, and then boy, North Carolina surged, and it looked like it was over. So good for the Jayhawks, if you're a Jayhawks fan. I'll say this about Kansas. I just was in your state. It is a very long I-70 road state full of farms and windmill farms, and it was freezing cold. So thank God you have basketball to celebrate because, man, I know that's where we grow a lot of our food, thank God, through the Midwest and stuff. But, man, that state, we went through Lawrence. I think we came near Lawrence. I saw some of the Kansas KU athletic facilities and things like that, but they'll be celebrating for sure out there in the Midwest. But good basketball game, good tournament. Maybe not a surprise in terms of who ended up in the. I still feel like this should have been
North Carolina, an 8 seed being in a final was.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah, but there's still a blue blood. You know what I mean? Like when North Carolina is an 8 seed, no one really buys it, right? It's like, well, it's not a good Carolina team. They were good enough to end Coach K's career, and I still feel like this thing should have been rigged. Where Coach K was playing in the finals and had a chance to win. I mean, he got to the Final Four, so he did have a chance. But it just seemed like to me that he was going to get, you know, that national championship game and maybe cut down the nets one final time. Didn't happen. One shining moment belongs to the Kansas Jayhawks.
And St. Peter's.
And St. Peter's, right, which was really the darling of the tournament, you know. I mean, that was the fun, the Cinderella that made it all the way to the Elite Eight. So that was a lot of fun. So we're through the basketball, college basketball season. Next up, some teams in the NFL began their offseason workout programs for those that had first-year coaches. The Bucs will begin their offseason workout program next Monday, I believe.
Do they get a first-time coach one now? I mean,
well, they were. I think they were eligible for it, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, Todd Bowles, and of course he didn't find out he was going to be the head coach until recently. They had already scheduled these coaches to be off. Now, the coaches were back in the building for the first time on Monday, but not ready to receive players and begin right. What his phase was of the off-season workout program. So they will merely keep their schedule as if, you know, Bruce Arians was coach or they didn't have a first-year coach. And really, you know, the extra week is well, it's maybe an advantage, but it's actually for – you know, install. It's for helping guys install their new systems, both offensively, defensively, when you have a new head coach. There's not dramatic change in terms of the systems or the schemes or even who the assistants are. You have a new head coach, obviously, but it's different. And I don't think that they need that extra week, and they're not going to take it, as it turns out. So they'll start next week. The draft, of course, is May 28th through the 30th. And then it won't
April,
be the next weekend.
April 28th through the 30th.
April 28th through 30th. And then it'll be 2 weeks after that Sunday that, you know, 2 weekends before the Bucs have their rookie minicamp. They won't do it the weekend after the draft, but after that. So we're really getting into the slow rollout of the new season. It'll run all the way through the middle of June with the mandatory minicamp, and then the only break we get, if you cover the NFL, if you're in the NFL, is at the end of June, right around the first part of July, and then we'll go to training camp at some point. And we got schedules that will come out sometime in April. We'll find out where the Bucs are going. We know they're going to Germany. We know that the team they're not going to play in Germany is the Green Bay Packers because they protected that game. So the Packers will be coming to Raymond James Stadium, which will be a big draw, obviously, for everybody. And, you know, so there's a lot of fun little things, you know, coming down the pike with the Bucs, including what Rob Gronkowski is going to do. Like I said, they're still waiting on some free agents. I'll say this about Blaine Gabbert, and I'll probably write something about it as well. But you know, people are asking, like, what are they going to do at backup quarterback? Because we know they re-signed Ryan Griffin, and we know that obviously Brady is back. Now, Kyle Trask would seem to be eventually the heir apparent to Brady, but he didn't get to practice much last year. He had a short season. He's going to likely have one again. So I've been asked, like, well, are they going with Trask as the number two? Like, is that the plan? And he'll get a chance to compete for it, obviously. I mean, you can't just, like, pull the rug and say, hey, sorry, pal, you're the inactive third guy. But I think they still want to re-sign Gabbert. And from what I understand, it's a contract dispute. You know, Gabbert thinks he's worth X, and the Bucs want to pay him Y, and they're not close. And so what's going to get really interesting, I think, is that Tom Brady wants Blaine Gabbert to be his backup. And when you get a quarterback like Brady, like Peyton Manning, I can remember when Sean King one time went to Indianapolis, you know, and he was quarterbacking in the preseason. He outplayed the heck out of Jim Sorgi, but Jim Sorgi got the job. And even Tony Dungy knew that King outplayed him, but it came down to who Peyton Manning wanted in the room. And the number two quarterback has a job to do to help the starter. And, you know, whether it's with film breakdown, in the case of, you know, of Gabbert, he helped them learn the offense too. And so I think Tom is comfortable with Gabbert. So I still think the plan is Blaine. Whether it's going to take some time or, you know, I don't know what Blaine's leverage is in terms of, like, are there other teams that want to sign him? Possibly. But without a solid offer that, you know, is substantially more than what the Bucs offer is, his real leverage is Tom Brady. You know, his real leverage is, hey, that guy wants me as the quarterback. But they don't have a ton of money, and they don't have a ton of money to spend on the quarterback position because they're trying to retain as many free agents as they can, and that might mean getting Gronk back, getting Sue back, getting guys that are going to cost more money than a quarterback that you hope to never play and may or may not have a market to go to. So if you're asking, you know, are the Bucs done with Blaine Gabbert? The answer is no, they're not. And I don't think Blaine is done talking to them either. It's just going to take some time. And, you know, maybe sometime after the draft, we'll see. You know, there could be teams that are going into the draft hoping, expecting to draft a quarterback. If they can't, maybe they look at Gabbert, and so suddenly that creates a market for him. I just don't know. But it sure seems to me more likely than not that he'll be back here if they can work it out. And, you know, that's what the offseason is about. That's what free agency is about. You know, it's about trying to get as much money as you can and security and all of that. And if things had fallen a different way, look, Blaine Gabbert might have a contract as a starter or at least one, you know, similar to Marcus Mariota or somebody like that they expect to start, where you could make $7 or $8 million. In terms of guarantees, and then go forward based on the number of starts that you make and playing incentives, and maybe make $10 or $15 million a year. Who knows? Jameis Winston was guaranteed $21 million, I think, over the next 2 years, which is great for him. So I don't think the Bucs are going to invest that with Brady here, but I do think that more likely than not they'll get it worked out. And Blaine is still, I think, the priority as far as a backup goes. But we'll see. All right, so what do you think? Should we do a mailbag tomorrow, perhaps? We haven't done one of those in quite some time.
Yeah, we can do that.
I've gotten some questions, especially on Bruce Arians, Tom Brady, all the conspiracy stuff, some other things already piling in. You can send those questions to us on Twitter, at SportsDayTV. You can reach me on Twitter, at NFL Stroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. Mailbag tomorrow. All questions answered 100% correctly. Your money back, and we'll do that. So thanks for listening. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.